Question 81. Will ye also go away? John 6, 66, 67. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Jesus found himself in the company of those who were following him in order to see miracles and eat free food. Jesus told him that his ministry was more than that. When Jesus finished his exclamation of deity and the commandment to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he offended many, and they decided he must be insane, or at least they were ashamed to associate themselves with him further. It would be comparable to hearing a person whom you trust say something that is wild and realizing you cannot, for reasons of association, ally with them anymore. There are those of us who find no offense at these words of Christ, however crazy they may sound. We have no problem with him as deity and welcome him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know exactly what he means when he tells us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But remember, his disciples did not. When Jesus looked around where crowds of thousands stood moments before and saw nothing but wind-blown footprints quickly disappearing in the sand, he looked at his 12 motley disciples and asked, Will ye also go away? Why are you not leaving too? When Jesus taught that we had to make choices in life, whether by parable or by preaching, he always taught that there were only two choices to make. There were two gates, two roads, two sons, two servants, two destinations, etc. He never made provision for the lukewarm, the fence straddler, the indecisive, or the fearful. We, in our modern age, have made provision for all and any who cannot keep up, who cannot seem to make up their minds, who put their hand to the plow and look back, those who have issues and a lot on their mind. But Jesus made no such provision, and rightfully so. One will find that it's rarely beneficial to pander to and support those who want their way or are waiting till all the facts are in. This life in Christ is a life of faith, and all the facts will never be in. This life in Christ is a matter of faith, a matter of the heart, a matter of doing what we know is right. It's time to make a choice. When Jesus looked at his disciples, he asked, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They were saying, We have no idea what you just told this crowd, or why. We do not understand why a Jew, forbidden to touch blood or dead men, would be asked to eat human flesh or drink blood. But we believe you must have a good reason. We're staying. We're convinced that you are the very Christ, and we're staying. Then Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen ye 12? One can almost see a smile on his face as he heard the right answer come from Simon. It was an attribute of faith for which Jesus sought when searching for disciples. He wasn't looking for a man with good communication skills or good money management, but a man capable of believing and following. When we know the one in whom we believe, we trust his words. When we trust his words, we must distrust our understanding within ourselves. We must open ourselves to the understanding given of the Father. If he says something that makes no sense or is contradictory to our way of thinking, we must be willing to stop and seek God for further understanding. If need be, we should change our thinking and align ourselves to his words. We don't have the option of aligning his word to our understanding. We must accept or reject what he tells us. There's no option to change, no option to omit or add until we can make sense of it all. If Christ is who he says he is, then his words should stand as truth, unaided by anyone's interpretation or explanation. To contort words and meanings, to spiritualize or literalize verses of Scripture, or omit reading certain passages to avoid dealing with them, or turn our reading toward extra-biblical sources. We're determining Christ as insufficient to communicate his truth to us. It's only our selfishness and sins that hinder clear communication. We would do well to take on the attitude of the disciples who said, "To whom shall we go?" It's long been a Quaker principle to listen to the Spirit within us and gain guidance from God directly. This is not a matter of sifting through all available information, as is done by some. It is rather reading God's words and hearing God's word. It's being taught of the Lord, the hearing a voice behind thee, the law written in your heart. It's sitting at his feet, as Mary did. What need we of teachers and books and explanations and excuses of spiritualizing the literal and literalizing the spiritual in order to understand? Why not listen as the disciples did, not understanding at all, but trusting that the Lord has the words of eternal life? Then we are open to enjoy the moments of unfolding that await the patient and humble hearer as we witness in the Gospels. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. When you depart from him and look for understanding elsewhere, you're like those that day who turned back and walked no more with him. They went to seek understanding elsewhere. They went to where the words fit their understanding, instead of seeking understanding of his words. Can you imagine the disbelief of the disciples as they watched the multitude of persons trekking home over the hills till all is silent and wondering to themselves, where are they going? Who'll tell them what Christ will tell them? Who knows what he knows? He has the words of eternal life. When you run across Scripture that's difficult, can you not trust that these are words of eternal life? When you hear God's word inside you bubbling up as a live spring, can you trust that it is the Lord who is dealing with you? Can you not rely upon the voice that confirms your salvation, guides you along your journey, keeps you from sin, and opens the Scriptures to you? Why go to mere and fallible men for understanding? Why seek out new ways, new interpretations, and new teachers? One is your teacher, even Christ. Jesus is seeking disciples of understanding. He's seeking those who will come to him, stay with him, and believe his words. He seeks those who will look to the Holy Spirit of God when they do not understand, not go out and seek men and others to explain and expound and adulterate God's precious words. The next time you find Scripture or revelation hard to hear, hard to understand, and you're tempted to take it before men for explanation or scrutiny, listen, for the Lord is asking, will ye also go away?